All right, so I'm going to read actually two sections today before we kind of jump into it. We're going to start in Isaiah 13. But we're going to be going to ultimately handling the first part of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. You know, before I start reading, I stop and think, and I think about this on a lot of different Sundays. But you know, we go and we read this book, right? We hold this book up as the Word of God and the words that are in it, and obviously that's true. But something that really helps with perspective is that we aren't just following a book. You know, we've talked about this before. As we talked about earlier, we're following a Lord, right? We've confessed Jesus as our Lord, the one who we follow, the one who's the boss of our life. And the words that are found in this book are the words of God. The words that are found in the New Testament of this book were revealed to us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so when we go to read the word and when we go to apply it and to obey it, we're not just obeying rules on a page. We're obeying our Lord. We're following the one who God has placed in a position far above all power and might and dominion and every name that's named. And so when we bow the knee to the word of God in our hearts in terms of obedience and seeking to know it, we're really, really what we're doing is reverencing and bowing our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ in our walks. And it's important to realize that. I'm not following a book of rules. I'm following a Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, that gives me great reverence then when I go to the word, because I can make this Bible say anything I want it to say by picking out the right verses and taking them out of context and reading little bits and not other parts, believing certain parts and pushing other things aside. But if this is the word of the exalted Lord Jesus Christ and the word of his God, how ought I to handle it, right? And then how ought I to receive it, right? So I say that just because I just try to remind myself of that, because it isn't my word, it's his. And I want to know him. So we do so by obedient response to the word of God. So Isaiah chapter 13, this is where I'm going to open today. I'm going to read a section here, and then we'll go over to Thessalonians. The oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw. On a bare hill, raise a signal. Cry aloud to them. Wave the hand for them to enter the gates of the nobles. I myself have commanded my consecrated ones and have summoned my mighty men to execute my anger, my proudly exalted ones. The sound of a tumult is on the mountains as of a great multitude. The sound of an uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathering together. The Lord of hosts is mustering a host for battle. They come from a distant land, from the end of heavens, the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty, it will come. Therefore, all hands will be feeble, and every human heart will melt. They will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pomp of the arrogant, and lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless. I will make people more rare than fine gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place, at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Father, I do want to thank you for your word this morning, and it is most glorious. Help us as we open your scriptures here to understand and to walk with you all the more today in light of that day which is to come. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I wanted to open in Isaiah to give just a little snippet of a picture of what that day will be like. And the day of the Lord is not actually a single day in time, but it's a period of time. The day of the Lord is this period of time in which the world will face judgment and its works will be exposed, really for what they really are. Okay. Our hope is not just found in the verses before chapter 5 that we read last week. If you remember, Pete shared on the gathering together where Christ comes and meets us in the air, and all the saints, those who have lived and those who are past, are risen together, and we meet him forever in the air. That is day one of our hope, but it's not the whole picture. In 2 Peter, it says, according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, right? Our hope is ultimately found in that day when there's new heaven, new earth, righteousness dwells, every tear has been wiped away, the sorrow of every living man's heart at that point has past, right? And we live in the glory and the light of the temple of the living God. That's our ultimate destination. The gathering together to our Lord Jesus Christ, as noted in chapter 4. You know, brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning those which are asleep. Remember that section we read last week? That gathering together of the body of Christ was a mystery until it was revealed by the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. The Old Testament has many, many, many things to say about the day of the Lord. And it's a great day of darkness and gloom and judgment. It isn't going to be an easy day to be alive in. But it was a mystery that the body of Christ would be raised up together with Christ before this great and mighty day of the Lord. Okay? The gathering together of the body of Christ, as was talked about in chapter 4, is referred to also as the day of Christ. And I'll tell you, if you want a fun study, look up the day of Christ or the day of our Lord Jesus Christ in a concordance and look at where it's used. It's really neat to see. That day of Christ, that day of our Lord Jesus Christ, includes our gathering together, our appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, and being presented together with all the saints to God. So in a verse here in 2 Corinthians, I'm just going to read it. Chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." Isn't that cool? The one who raised the Lord Jesus, that's God, will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us, Paul saying us, with you, the Church of Corinth, into God's presence. That's the day of Christ. That was a mystery. The day of the Lord was known. This day of Christ that comes just before the day of the Lord, where his people are gathered together and presented to God as the body of his Son, Jesus Christ, was a mystery. And it's something that you and I will participate in. So here in chapter 5, it opens. "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And you might ask, well, why, Paul, are you talking about the day of the Lord in the context that the saints will already be gathered? And it's really kind of the opening act, more or less, of that day of the Lord period of time. Okay? So that day of Christ, that literal day when all of the saints will rise in the gathering together that was mentioned at the end of chapter 4 here, takes place, and it ushers in the beginnings of the day of the Lord, which is a period of time that are very well documented in the scriptures. And so Paul's saying, now concerning the times and seasons that that's going to happen, you have no need to have anything written to you, for yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And I'll tell you, this this saying you can see is used also in Peter. Peter uses, hey, it's going to come like a thief in the night. And I don't know if that was a saying that they had before this, but Jesus certainly alludes to this in Matthew 24, and I'll just read this to you. He says this, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Right? And that day of the Lord, we read part of that out of Isaiah, and there's much more in the scriptures about it. But that judgment of God will ultimately be meted out by the one who he has appointed judge of all the earth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? And so he'll come and we'll meet him in the clouds and we'll forever be with him. And at some point then after that, in this day of the Lord period, the Lord will come to the earth physically and will mete out the judgment of God. So he says here, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect, like a thief in the night, right? I want to read to you another verse here, another section. Out of Amos, chapter 5, and it says this, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into the house and leaned his hand upon the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? Right? Pretty interesting, too. You see the contrast, and you're going to continue to see this. The contrast of the day of Christ is also referred to as our day of redemption, that gathering together. It talks about a time of boasting or rejoicing in the things that have been built upon the foundation of Christ in our life. It talks about a day that those who are faithful will receive crowns of life and glory. But the day of the Lord is a day of darkness and gloom and death and judgment. You see the contrast? We get to be a part of the first. And it says in Romans and elsewhere that we're saved from that wrath to come. Verse 3, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It's not going to be good. Verse 4, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Praise God, right? Look, this is good news, right? This is actually part of the gospel good news. That this day of the Lord that was very clearly placed forth in scriptures, that is this terrible dark day, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be gathered before it and will not experience the wrath of God. That is really good news, is it not? That being said, it's good news, but our response should not be to blow off the day of the Lord is something little and small and insignificant, right? And we're going to see here in this next section of verses what our response ought to be. Because that day of the Lord, of which we're talking about right now, is a very dark and heavy, gloomy time. It says that the sun will not give light in its rising. The sun will rise, but no light will come out of it. How crazy is that? Right? That's the kind of day it's going to be. It says you'll run away from a bear and you'll find yourself running into a lion, or the other way around, I think it is, right? Do you see? And so the scriptures here are trying to tell us something, because that day is coming. But what have we just been told? You're not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You're the children of the light, children of the day, not of the night, nor of darkness. And look at this. Now we get to application. Okay, so this great day is coming. So we're not going to be a part of it directly, but what application does it have for me? Verse 6, so then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Let us be sober. This is the response then to the fact that the day of the Lord is coming. Let us not sleep, but be sober. And sober is elsewhere translated sober-minded. You know, it certainly can be applied to strong drink. But what happens when I drink too much is I'm no longer sober-minded. I can also be not sober-minded and have no alcohol in my system at all, right? And so the Christian's encouragement here is to be sober-minded in light of the day of the Lord, which is coming. Although I will not be a part of it, in that I won't be at the receiving end of it, I am to be sober. Verse 6 says, then let us not sleep as others do. Interestingly, earlier in chapter 4, sleep was referred to in terms of death. Here, sleep is referred to in terms of not being awake spiritually, not seeing the times and the seasons, not being aware of what God is doing. I'm asleep at the wheel. Do you understand that? What that means, that sleeping? And the encouragement is, let us not sleep like some others do, but we're to keep awake and we're to be sober. If you turn with me briefly, I want to expound on this from Ephesians. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, and starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ has, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Isn't that wild? Because of these things in the world, interestingly enough, that have just been dealt with in Thessalonians 4, right? They were just dealt with at the beginning of 4, in the middle of 4, right? And it's because of those kind of things that the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Now look at the encouragement in verse 7. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time, you were darkness. Right? We were darkness and destined for darkness and gloom and judgment. But now, you are light in the Lord. Here's the encouragement. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. One time we were darkness, but now we're light, right? See how clear that is? And it's in light of the wrath of God coming upon those things that are so rampant in the world, that cleansing that will take place and needs to take place so that we have a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. Unrighteousness needs to be done away with, you see? And so since we're no longer part of that unrighteousness, we're no longer in darkness, but we're children of light, we're encouraged to then walk as children of light. Or as Thessalonians says, stay awake, be sober-minded, right? Pretty cool. Go back to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Isn't that encouraging? Not just for ourselves, I think, but, you know, to be very sober-minded about the fact that this day is coming. And not just for, you know, praise God, we're children of light, and it's not a judgment we will face. But the world around us will. Your neighbors who are not saved will, if they don't hear and believe. Your coworkers who are not saved will. Your fellow mommies at the homeschool groups will face that judgment. You see? Kind of sobering, is it not? And it ought to have that effect on the believer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, but since we belong to the day, look at this, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Pretty awesome. Paul had already encouraged them and talked of how he prayerfully remembered their work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope, if you remember at the beginning of the book. And here we are at the end. And they're encouraged once again to put on that breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Look at this beautiful verse in verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a verse. You stop and think, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't take long reading some of these Old Testament records that talk about that day of the Lord, the wrath of God coming upon those who are unrighteous, to make you very thankful that he has not destined you for wrath, but instead has given you salvation through your Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing. That's amazing. What a gift. What good news for those who have believed. Romans 5 also says that we were saved from the wrath to come, if you want to look it up there. Verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Pretty awesome, huh? Who died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we might live with him. And you know what I love about this too, and I think you've heard it before, but the context of what waking or sleeping in this verse 10 is verse 6. And it isn't talking about death or life. It's talking about whether I'm awake up here or not. Right? Look, I'm saved and I've been destined to salvation because I've confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. If I spend the rest of my Christian life asleep, I'm still in Christ. Pete talked about that last week, right? I'm in Christ. It's a work of God, not of my own, lest I should boast. If it was something that I could work to keep, I could boast that I had worked to keep it. Right? But it's a work of God, not of my own. And praise God, because we fail. He will not. I'm in Christ today, whether I'm alive or whether I die. I'm in Christ today, whether I'm awake or whether I'm sleeping at the wheel. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the encouragement here, the command really, is that I stay awake, because that day is coming. That day is coming, right? So stay awake. Be sober. God hasn't destined you for wrath. You're a child of light, not of darkness. Verse 10, who died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we might live with him. Look at this. Verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And you know what I loved about this? There's a couple things, this last verse, that just struck me. We often do encourage one another with the words of 1 Thessalonians 4, right? When we're grieving a brother or sister, when we're grieving someone that we've lost, we encourage one another with those words. We're getting up again. The last trumpet could be today, right? Now, it shifts into talking about this day of the Lord and not walking as children of darkness, but walking as children of light. And in light of that, it says to encourage one another. Same word, encourage one another, right? So we're to encourage one another It says in Hebrews, all the more as we say the day, as we see the day approach, right? To live for something bigger, live for something bigger than just what this world has to offer, right? Not fall asleep as some others do. Why don't you go to 2 Peter? It's actually where we're going to close today. 2 Peter 2:9 and the Apostle Peter here does exactly what Thessalonians teaches to encourage. In verse 10 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, it says here, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed." You stop and think about that, folks. All that garbage and the things that are in this earth, right, that attract our attention and demand our worries and our concerns and our obsessions, all of it, there's coming a day where all of it will be exposed for what it is. It'll all be exposed. There's nothing that God does not see. And it will all be exposed for what it is. Boy, that takes the power out of it, doesn't it? There's nothing hidden. Nothing hidden to your God, right? For my own heart, you know what that does? It really makes me all the more want to be very transparent before my God. Quick to repent. If I see something in me, in my actions, in my thoughts, that's darkness, I'm quick to repent because he sees it already anyways, right? And say, gosh, in light of that day, this is not who I am. I haven't been destined to wrath like others, right? I certainly don't want to walk in it, even in the smallest amount, you know? And so it just causes my heart to say, it's all going to be exposed. I might as well expose it right now, you know? And thank God that he's given us redemption and forgiveness in Christ Jesus, right? Puts you in a position just to live free before him. So here's this encouragement. It'll all be dissolved. The earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Verse 11, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, look at this. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Verse 13, but according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Isn't that cool? That's what we're waiting for, right? And so, in this section of Thessalonians, we're encouraged, first off, that while the day of the Lord, a dark and gloomy day, will come as a thief in the night for some, we, as the body of Christ, are not in darkness, that the day should overcome us, right? And because of that, what kind of people ought we to be in the way that we live and conduct our lives? To stay awake, right? To stay awake and to walk with him today, and to encourage one another to do that, and all the more as we say that, see that day approach, right? It's encouraging. So I'm going to end there. So Father, just want to thank you again for your word. I pray that we could be a people that are very pricked in our hearts about that coming day. Not only our day in Christ when we'll be raised from the dead, but Father, the judgment that will take place. So that we're ready with an appropriate word, Father, to bring all people to a knowledge of you and to salvation, which is your heart and your genuine desire for all people, that they would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Thank you, Father, for this. Help us to stay awake today and tomorrow and for the rest of our life until that day that we see our Lord face to face. And we thank you and praise you in his name. Amen.